Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Santa Chris. Is that weird?
Go with it.
Not Santa Claus, Santa Chris. See what I did there? Yeah, that didn't work. Anyway, hey, what's up? Host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, I promise you it gets better. Everybody who's listening, who always listens, man, I appreciate you so much. Tis the season, and I am grateful for you. So thank you so much. I'm excited for this episode today. It is December 13th. My littlest Yana's birthday's in 2 days. She's going to be 8. Her name's Fallon. So shout out to Fallon, because I know she just loves this podcast. It's her favorite. She probably down listens to it.
Happy birthday, Fallon.
She didn't even know what a podcast is. But one day, now we've got it documented. So Matt, dude, I'm so excited to have you on here today.
What's up?
We're going to have a good time. You know what? Speaking of good times, when we recorded this podcast, it was December 6th. So I had just come off of a concert that was in Phoenix, dude. And because I'm 43 years old, you're going to appreciate this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. So it was Nelly. So Nelly was headlining the concert. But it wasn't just Nelly. It was Ja Rule, who was like, I didn't even know he was still alive. Yeah, Ja Rule was awesome. It was Lil Jon. Yeah.
Oh, you got all the classics.
Yeah, man. Ashanti was there. Ying Yang Twins. Chingy. Remember Chingy?
Yeah.
And then Jay. Like, dude, it was a cool little like group of people. It was such a good time. And then since it's December 13th, as this podcast is airing, Nelly just played our Rhino Christmas party. So it was cool to bring him in for our private. He was our private guest this year. So the last year was Flo Rida. And then the year before that was Coolio, Tone Loc, and Young MC.
I remember seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah, buddy. So I love that stuff, man. And like, listen, I'm a sucker for cornrows. So are you. We came from the country, man.
You're right.
A little different. You're from Elwood. Is that where you came from?
Which is a small little farm community.
Middle of nowhere. Just like I'm from the middle of nowhere in Indiana. We're just a couple of small town boys from Indiana. Indiana boys on an Indiana night. Close friend. I'm going to try it again. We're just a couple small town boys from Indiana. With them Indiana boys on an Indiana night. Hey, just so you know, you missed both those cues today. You missed both of them. Yeah, it's 100% true. So just so you guys know, listening, producer Ryan messed up both those audio cues today. I'm actually going to show him right here. There you go. So wave and say, I'm sorry, everybody. There you go. Hey, tis the season. I forgive you. But listen, we're just a couple small town boys. And here we are all these years later because you and I actually met back in 2010, I believe it was. And we were working for Habegger.
Yep.
And I think you were like, you had just started in Habegger then too. And I was only about my first full year into working with the distributors and doing all the dealer meetings and all those things in the HVAC space, man. But now it's 2022, almost 2023.
Look at us. We've grown up.
Look at us. Just a couple of wet behind the ear Hoosier boys getting her done. Well, listen, I'm excited to tell your story. I know that you've kind of been playing in this, you know, I'm in the digital marketing space. You've been in it about as long as me too. Like, cause I remember having conversations when we first met, that was like one of the things that connected the two of us.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, you know, there was that point in time and I want to say it on the air. I had an opportunity to bring Matt on board at Rhino and I missed that opportunity. So damn you. Damn you for
got
taking
me on the podcast though.
Nah, man,
timing.
It's so cool.
Timing's
the timing
man.
Was like off by like a year maybe, but I knew better. I knew you're the right person, but that's because I say that out of respect because, you know, I know, you know, my world and you know, understand the trades really well. And the most important thing is I know your heart and your intent is really, really good. And it's the same as ours. So I love having you come on here and kind of sharing all that success. So this is kind of like my, participation trophy I get for not bringing you on the board.
I appreciate it.
But listen, you know, I love it because you and I do see eye to eye on a lot of things, and we got the opportunity to speak together down in Atlanta, yep. Probably like a month or so ago, at a, Adam Barty, location. And we shared some of the same things. And I think you and I both know that 2023 is going to look a little bit different. These past few years have been really great for our industry in a lot of ways. We've seen the birth of a lot of new companies in there. Like revenue's been good. Business has been really good. A lot of great things, but I think we're going to come back down from cloud nine and get right back to whatever normal is. I think that's what we're going to start to see. And so for our listeners, Matt's like completely understands it's going to have a lot of great takeaways. He's the vice president of brand experience at Max Service Group, which wasn't called Max Service Group back in the day that I remember, because I'm from the Indianapolis market, and it was Williams Comfort Air, Mr. Plumber. And I had the luxury of working with them and Joe Huck and Jacob and all of them early on in my career, which was the whole other story. That would be a great podcast.
You can get Joe on.
That would be quite an interesting podcast for sure. He taught me a ton about the industry early on, so I'm grateful for that. But let's go ahead and share with our listeners just a little bit of how you got in the trades. Like I said, I know you and I got to meet back in 2010 when you were working for a HVAC distributor. But tell the story, man. How'd you get in the trades? And then given that this is our Trade Marketing Magic Playbook Part 2, you know, you and I talked about ahead of time to really hit on the shoulder season. So that's kind of what you can expect from this, and maybe 2023 prep and prep across the digital landscape, branding, all the things. But first and foremost, tell them what's up, man. How'd you get into trades?
Yeah, totally. So I first love this space, love the people, so many genuine people always willing to help. And I think that's where we kind of connect, and then connect with a bunch of other people in this industry. It's just good people. Right. But how I got here started with Habegger right out of college, started on their e-commerce team, ended up moving into a territory manager position for Carrier. Did that for a little while, but I know my passion is more on the marketing side of it and really what I could see from a technology perspective, and went to work for, so I left Habegger, went to work for HVAC.com at the time, and turned into Contractor Commerce as we know it today. Started there, helped Will there build that up. But you know, then I had e-commerce experience, I had the distributor experience. Now it's like, now I want to try the contracting side. I want to work for a contractor. So I actually went to work for a smaller regional shop that had a location in Cincinnati and Lexington, Kentucky. Worked for them as director of sales and marketing there for a couple of years, and felt called to make my way back home to Indiana, as we talked about earlier. You know, some life shit happened, yep. Right? My dad passed away. There were just a series of events. I was like, you know what? This I need to get back to family, right? Yep. I want my kids to be able to experience what I experienced growing up, being close to family. So my wife and I moved back here, actually worked for a marketing agency that focused on the trade, specifically in Indianapolis, or that was located in Indianapolis, as vice president of marketing. And I was there for a couple of years, and then kind of got had the ability to come on here at Max Service Group, you know, Williams Comfort Air, Mr. Plumber, Jarboe's, Thomas & Galbraith, Buckeye, yeah. All the different brands that we operate into our different cities. But had the opportunity to come back here, first started just primarily focusing on the digital side of it, and then moved into the director of marketing position, and now VP of brand experiences. We've kind of reorged and reshuffled some things around. So here at the company currently today, basically things that happen before it gets to operations reports through me or my team. So call center, dispatch, obviously the marketing side of the follow-ups, all that fun stuff. And I think that just gives some clarity. I do want to point that out, not, you know, from a perspective of when I answer some of these questions, I may bring up like, hey, and this is why I look at it this way. Because I think it's very important for every company to know, A, what size the company is that they're that the person talking is from. So we're at about 550 employees across, well, we are at 550. I can't just say, you know, we don't make them up. We've got 550 employees across our four metropolitan cities that we serve. And so that's kind of where some of our answers come from. But I've got experience down to an $8 million shop. So, and working with a ton of smaller ones through distribution side, but that's my journey, man. That's how we got here. That's how you and I became connected early on. And here we are today.
I know. I think what I love about this is you've got like all the perspectives that you need, because you've been on the distribution side, you've been on the contractor side, you've been like, so you've done all the, you've got all these different views into it, which is what I think makes you so valuable and unique. Is that you do have all that experience and you've got a lot of success with the experience. So it's not like you just tried and like you've got good success with it. So you do under, so even though Max Service Group is huge and massive, you didn't lose perspective of what it's like to be, like you said, $8 million shop who's doing different things because you have different circumstances or whatever it is, but it's also a different world. You know?
So, absolutely.
The interesting part about all this is, you know, for our listeners is, you know, people start to like, you know how it is, like when if you start talking about marketing or even digital, you know what's something that's interesting is I was at a dinner the other night and I'm sitting at a table with a lot of incredibly successful people in the roofing industry. And we're having big conversations and they're tapping into me saying, hey, what is HVAC doing? What's HVAC like? What's the differences? What are the tech schools doing? Because it's way behind. Roofing industry is way behind. And I found myself when they were introducing me to like some of these big players and big industry organization leaders, like the CEO of like these big organizations.
Right.
I felt awkward that they were saying, oh, he's a digital marketing agency. I shouldn't have felt awkward like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how it almost feels like, oh God, is this guy going to, you know, pitch me or what?
Oh, we're dirty.
You know, it just felt weird. And I was like, I got to figure out how to change that narrative because I'm not that guy. So immediately I go into, well, I need to show that I know my stuff. I'm not like some sales guy. Yep. And thankfully, they asked me all the right questions. And because this industry is a little bit further than that one, it was really easy to kind of set the stage quickly.
Right.
But the reality is like you as the listeners got to pay attention to this stuff. It's so incredibly important. And especially going into 2023 that you have to do something and doing nothing is no longer an option. Like you've got to do something. You can only get by for so long. So given the volume of experience you have, you've done so much speaking. I mean, you can Google Matt Tyner and you're going to find not just his mugshot, but also his, I'm kidding. Not just his mugshot. But you're going to find really
any, the one time
you've did. It was that one time and I didn't do it. I pled not guilty. You'll find him pretty much everywhere. He's done a bunch of different episodes with Service Titan and other podcasts and things like that. So it always has great content, but from your perspective, Matt, like what's the number one thing, like the most important thing from a brand, you know, or marketing perspective that these contractors have to pay attention to in 2023? Like the one thing that stands out to you, maybe the battle cry that you guys have at Max Service Group going into next year. And because you mentioned size, there's still some of those like things that are regardless of size, you know, that you could share with all of our listeners. That's important.
Yep. Yeah. So, and I think, there are some evergreen things, right, that need to be done regardless of the size. But I want to point out a few key things that really can also be pretty applicable to even your smaller contractors, right? Us big guys, the larger contractors, we need the smaller contractors in market, right? They serve. Some of the population that we can't or we don't, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's important that they're successful, because without them, this whole ecosystem of HVAC doesn't necessarily survive at the way it survives today. Yeah. However, I think 2023 has the opportunity, depending on how things shape up economically, has the opportunity to be very, very different than what we've experienced the last 2 years.
Yep.
Right? We've been in the last 24 months, we've really been fortunate that our industry has not been impacted from COVID. I think no one's going to argue that more people were at home. We had, this is coming off of the previous recession, which then drove into additional housing markets being created, so on and so forth. So we had a lot of new construction that those systems were coming to maturity. We had the old cash for clunkers in the HVAC industry that was also around that time, right? So now that's coming to maturity at 10, 12 years. The people at home, as I mentioned before, there were just a lot of things and cash being infused into market. There were a lot of things that really played in favor of the industries that we serve. And I think we need to be cognizant that those things may be coming to their maturity, and that we need to be prepared to be operating our businesses as if it was prior to COVID and the other economic influencers that came to maturity during that time. So where do I see that being a big opportunity, folks? I think regardless of size, when you're talking about brand and marketing, community matters. The people matter that you serve. I think that is always one, regardless of size, is always a smart play. For us, we may be interacting with the communities of different sizes across all of our coverage areas. For smaller contractors, that community that you focus on and that niche that you're really serving, serve that community well. Because there are really some small costs, but phenomenal return things you can be doing in the community to just being an ingrained member of it. So doing that. Facebook, still for smaller contractors, I always recommend you sure as hell better be involved on your personal Facebook, promoting your business, talking on community chatter groups, things of that nature, because those can be a gold mine for home services contractors, right?
Absolutely.
And it doesn't cost you a damn thing besides your time.
That's right.
Right? We're all on Facebook when we're not at work, right? And half of us while we're at work. So let's not try to confuse that. But I would say mix is going to be really, really important. As an industry, and this is weird because both you and I are digital guys, right? Mm. That's kind of where we carved ourselves out within the industry, specifically early.
Yep.
Mix is going to be more and more important. I think as an industry, we did a poor job of over rotating to digital, if that makes sense.
Yep.
We got really addicted to, oh, hey, I can see the results instantaneously. I can get into my dashboard, see those results. And I think what we've done is we forgot about top of mind awareness and that brand recall that can really cause with the client. So I think mix is going to be more and more important, and your mix is going to vary by size, because you'll flex in and out of top of mind awareness more or less, depending on what size you are as a company. But always be cognizant of what your mix looks like, right? How much are you investing in customer acquisition? How much in top of mind awareness? How much in pay for performance? How much in technology? All the different tools, agency fees, things of that nature. Where are your investments going? And how are you making sure you have a healthy mix, so you're getting to people at different stages of the funnel?
Got it. So I want to hit on a couple things you said there.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and you're like, mix, what the hell is he talking about? He's talking about doing a mixture of, whether it be branded effort, direct response effort, like free, like going on social pages and promoting yourself. Like, there's a mixture of things you can do. And I do agree. Thankfully, it worked out for me being in the digital space. It did go heavy the other way. That pendulum swung and it was really, really great. But this is where a company like ours was successful, is because we understood the industry well before that pivot happened. But I am a big believer, and even though I do all things digital, I am a big believer in mix. Like, branding is so incredibly important. And And what really exposed it was early on when COVID hit and people freaked out, and were hesitant, and there was like, what's going on? A lack of trust. This is where brand matters, right? Because if now I got to go and do something, I certainly want to do it with a brand I've heard, because there's a feel good in that brand. Like, I can trust it. And I went to the site and they had, the COVID protocols and all the booties and all the others, like the masks and all the things then. But mixture is so important. And by the way, this next year is going to be, I'm not saying it like, oh my gosh, we got to watch out. There's still going to be plenty of volume, but brand is really going to show itself going into 2023. Yep. And you got time. And that's why we rolled this thing out before the end of the year. So that way, if you don't have something in place, plan for it. You know, got to have something, some sort of purpose behind that business too, besides just the service itself. And then you got to start putting it out there. And social is the easiest way to do it because it's free.
Right. And I think for us, right, in our business, what I've really hit on as we start implementing into 2023 is even more so than ever, this is the year of trust, right? Building that trust with the consumer, with the community, with the people that you interact with on a daily basis, your team. It's going to be more and more important because what's different with if we do enter more of an economic downturn. What's different with this one than the prior one? The prior one, you had the housing market to blame, right? Subprime loans, all that fun stuff. Yep. This one's a little bit different because, and I think we talked about this when we were at Barty's event. This one's a little bit different because they don't necessarily have that. So how's the consumer going to interact with that and engage with brands? I think they don't necessarily have someone to necessarily blame for what they're experiencing personally, right? So does that blame then get reallocated and broadcast across the spectrum? That's why trust is going to become more and more important, in my opinion. And people may disagree, but in my opinion, trust is going to be huge in 2023.
Yep, 100% on board with you. And by the way, all that does is better your branding. Like, you know how it is. What's branded versus non-branded do for you? Yep. Lower the cost per lead. So there's a lot of benefits to branding yourself, but you need to, you know, and if it seems like, oh man, that's a big uphill thing to do a brand name change, guess what? You're not alone. But I promise you, there's actually a really big win on the other side of actually doing that. As long as you find the right people to help you, so you're not doing something silly, you know, and like trying to figure it out all on your own, like use a professional to help you. There's some great companies out there that do branding. One that we just pulled into the Rhino family. Prolific Brand Design. How you doing? Shout out. but obviously my friend Dan Antonelli does a ton of branding stuff too, or there's some other, just make sure you, whatever it is, you if you do the rebrand, the one that it makes sense and it has a phenomenal purpose behind it, because if you lose the purpose, the point of the brand's going to fall flat, especially across your culture. But pay attention to branding. Now let's talk about this piece, because some of those, that don't have a brand, it's not just like it's fixed overnight, right? So you have to do things to continue with demand. And you and I had a good conversation about this, like last month or whatever. I think, we were still down when we were Atlanta about LSA. Like, let's not even joke. Like, LSA is fantastic, and we need to milk that sucker as long as we possibly can. And even if it starts to go up a little bit, and you and I both know it's going to, it's still a great lead, and it's so low risk. It's really more of a, how can I get my budget to spend and bring in the volume? Cause there's a game to it and that whole management thing. But, you and I think felt very similar about how to manage these LSA programs. And a lot of it is just managing it, trying things differently. Maybe you don't dispute all the charges to see if one works better than the other, like just trying all the different things to figure out how can I spend that budget, because you're actually pulling lead volume. But what do you think from your perspective and your experience across all your guys' brands? And then, of course, just being in this industry, what's the best way to manage these LSA programs for the best outcome?
So we have it set up a little bit uniquely, but again, a lot of it's because of the number of leads that come through for us. So we actually have someone internally that they do listen to all the leads. Because before we dispute something, we need to make sure that it hits the criteria of the dispute, right? So this is someone that I personally sat down with and trained of hey, here are the criteria in which it would qualify as a dispute. So that we're making sure when Google listens to that call, it's not, oh, nope, denied, because that really wasn't a dispute. It's you need to make sure that it's backed up and right. So that you have a leg to stand on in case they come back and say no. The other side of it, we leave our budgets pretty wide open with it. Because we know we need a mass amount of business, but you can make some movements there with budget. And I've seen companies that have had smaller budgets be successful. I've seen some that have it uncapped be successful. So I really do think we keep ours uncapped because we want Google to know that, hey, we're willing to spend literally as much money as you can possibly send us in these. We will buy. I would personally call them and tell them that if someone would answer.
good luck.
Right. But that's huge. But response rate, I think is a big factor that oftentimes gets overlooked, because I think it's important. Google wants the people that they're sending you, they want to know they're taken care of, because that means those people had a good experience with Google and will come back.
Yep.
It's the same with ads, same with everything. Google's job is to drive revenue, right? They are a for-profit business and they are proud of it.
Yep.
And they can be and they should be. What we need to do is understand that and make sure that that is what drives and shapes a lot of things that happen, SEO, SEM, that drive a lot of revenue for Google long-term. We've got to make sure that we're positioning it and taking care of the clients that they are sending us, because that is a big factor in it. So I would say response rate, have a very close eye on what that looks like. Use a tool if you don't have one that shows you, so on and so forth. Just know that metric, because I do believe that's a very important metric when it comes to Google local services.
Gotcha. I'm going to go ahead and add to that too. And I don't manage our LSA program, but one of the guys in here does. He was an ARS rescue leader for like 10 years. And so I know he helped manage those campaigns for all those franchise locations. Right. And he's now, thankfully, our vice president of digital strategies. He's solid. So that was like his jam. He knew it pretty well. And he was talking about how you in here, usually once a month, we'll do this thing called Rhino U, where a different employee leads a different training session. Yep. So that way we can cross train across all departments and they can choose to be a part of it or not. And we were talking about LSA, and he was talking about how if you have a bunch of reviews, let's say you have 2,250.
Yep.
Don't just sit and be okay with that amount of reviews. Keep getting the reviews, because you still want to keep getting those things too. So it's not like, hey, it's been, 2 months since you've gotten any reviews, or a month since you got, like, that's all part of the equation too, is keep getting the reviews. And by the way, if this sounds like a lot because you're still riding in trucks and doing things like that, there's plenty of opportunities for companies to help you that are legit. Yeah. Like, competitors of mine, we do it, but competitors of mine that I consider friends also do a great job. There's help. You can find LSA management too. I think our average cost per lead for like our HVAC guys is $42 right now, which is fantastic. I'll take that all day. Even if it goes up to 62, guess what? I'm game for that too, whatever. But you have help out there. So even though it might sound like a lot to listening to those phone calls, and it is, because you have to sit and listen to it and manage it. Those who get it done right and are responsive and are quick are the ones that typically will win that game. And by the way, even though like Matt's talking about open up your budget wide open, that sounds good in theory too, but keep in mind, you got to have staff to support that too. So worst of case scenario is you can't go run the damn job because you don't have enough staff to support it. So don't leave the faucet on if the clog is in the, or the drain is clogged, man. Okay. So I'm gonna shift gears just a little bit. Thanks, man. Yep. I appreciate your perspective on LSA. I like to have these conversations in presentations I'm giving, in regards to mobile versus desktop. Now, listeners, like, this is important. The experience is different, right? From your phone to someone searching on their actual computer, right? Like sitting in the office, like I do. It used to be so where we were still, and I'm going to say used to, like, say even pre-COVID, where it was still desktop was winning that game over mobile. That's since shifted a significant amount to, I would even say, a 60-40. Maybe that's a bit much. Maybe it's not that, but it's going to be close.
There's a bit pretty close.
A heavy shift to mobile. And again, all I'm doing is looking at overall statistics for all Rhino customers that are in the space. So, but that experience is different. And we typically will see a high number of people who were, service and repair is comfortable using the cell phone. It's easier. But if you're going to go into like you're going to try and study these companies to do an install because it's a bigger ticket item, you might go to your desktop where you can see it better. You can read the things better and things like that. And I still think that that's true. But by no means, because you hear people talk about a mobile first world, do you ever forget that desktop's a thing, because it's still very much a thing when people using it, and that experience matters. So, do you have... At Max Service Group, do you have different strategies for each of those? I mean, I know that we will deploy different strategies for mobile and desktop, from like, say, the paid ad experience. Is there anything that you guys are doing for one versus the other? Like, you see any success with, like, just like, so these guys can be thinking, it's not just a one size fits all. Should they be thinking of doing, or asking their agencies or their marketing managers to do, what am I doing for one versus the other? Like, what are you guys doing?
I think really when it comes down to desktop versus mobile, I focus more on that conversation. I focus more around the conversion metrics. You know, with mobile, I tend to agree. Those are, you need conversion top of mind right there, right? It is, when I use my phone, it's, oh shit, I need to get someone now or I will forget. So I need to be able to call them right now. So making sure, I would say on the optimization side of it, from a conversion rate perspective, making sure your CTAs are at the top, your call to action. Yep. So make sure your phone number is readily available that they can just click on it and call you, reach out to you, the online scheduler, contact forms. I am a big fan of let's be available to any consumer in the way in which that they want to interact with us.
Whether we like it or not.
Right. I'm not one of saying everything needs to be an online scheduler, everything needs to be a phone or forms are dead. Forms still have one heck of a place here and
absolutely
have a great conversion rate for us. So, but again, process has to support that. But I would say really on the mobile side, it's making sure that they can connect with you quickly.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing. Desktop, those are your learners, right? Those are your people that are wanting to educate themselves a little bit more, that they may need a little bit more buy-in. So make sure you're very strategic about how your homepage lays out, like how you go through from one step to another, right? You have a statement at the top, then you're going to go into your coupon so they know a way to save money with you. You talk more about the company, you say what you do in the community, you know, how long you've been here, things of that nature. I think you need to be very strategic in that conversation as they scroll down through the website. Again, making sure that it's easy for them to convert when they are ready to convert, because there will be a trigger point, right? When someone's like, okay, I've learned enough, I trust them, now I'm ready to make a decision. So still making sure the conversion metrics are readily available and always following them down the page. Big fan of that, you know, sticky headers, anchored headers, whatever we want to call them.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of, because it's all about conversions at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, we've been, conversions is the key word, right? Like that's when anybody asks Absolutely. Me anything, what's the most important metric to me? That's the most important metric is conversions, because that's the one that means something. That's the one that actually can drive opportunity for a business, which is the game that I'm in. I have to create a legit lead, a new customer. That's an opportunity. I do that by paying attention to conversions.
Yep.
So, and you can use that to measure for coaching opportunities with different team members, whether SEO, PPC, there's lots of different things too. So I'm a big believer in that piece. So, but ultimately it comes down to this user experience. Like you get on the phone, like we bill, the 700 contractors that we have, it's a lot of the websites that we build on the mobile side of it look fairly similar on purpose. Because right. That screen is only so big, and I know where to put the buttons to get the conversions. Yeah. Whether it's a drain cleaning lead or if it's an install lead, if somebody's looking for that, if there's a financing opportunity, like whatever it is, we learned it or put the button. So yes, it's on purpose. But the desktop might look a little bit different, right? But there's still the same call to actions in there to help with conversions. But point being is you can take any unique brand, put those same conversion tools on your desktop and mobile and be successful with it. So you got to pay attention to that overall user experience. So I'm going to take another segue into that, because that is essentially like that site and those conversion tools are the foundation that we're building this thing on. But then how we're driving, people into it is the other piece of this, of the other side of the coin. It's if we need to drive traffic into it, we're going to have to do some paid ads through, through Google. If you have no branding, if you've not been doing SEO, or if your search engine optimization hasn't been done well and you're not ranking very well, or if you don't even understand what the hell you've been paying for the whole time, like I get that. That's actually still very much a common problem.
Yep.
There's what tools should I be looking at to see if it's successful or not? And I know you and I both have passion about this too. And ultimately there are things you can use to see if it's successful or not, regardless of what someone is telling you. But before I give my opinion, on it, I believe they're best served together. If done well, they're best served together.
Absolutely.
But what are your overall thoughts on importance of just like, how would you measure success? Let's start with pay-per-click. So this is the paid ad side of it. How are you measuring success with your paid ads?
Yeah, paid ads, 100% return on ad spend.
Yeah.
That's an easy one for me. That's what I say. It's what matters at the end of the day is the revenue. Now, going back to my intro side of it, why I say that is because I am able to have influence over our client care team, which is our call center team, also our dispatch team of what our goal, 100% capacity every day service over maintenance, we're able to really control what that journey looks like before it gets to the operations, which would trigger in the sales or the service team to be able to serve them. So there's a lot that we can do with that. And that is why I'm comfortable saying return on ad spend all day. But there are things that you can look on. And I know a lot of companies will look at different metrics, right? What's your cost per call or cost per lead, whatever.
Yep.
We want to look at opportunity, so on and so forth. I'm not a big fan of looking at cost per click because there's a lot of ways of that you can game that. Yep. And I think this industry has a bad habit of certain agencies overly talking about that as a metric, as if it fucking converted into something.
As if it actually mattered.
Right. But another one that I think is often overlooked is your impression share.
Yeah.
And really understanding where you play in the market.
Yeah.
Because that, what people forget is when they look at impression share, that can allow you to think a lot more strategically about your campaigns and your spending, right? If you're into a time that you need more leads, right? We're in a shoulder season. Let's take a look at the impression share. Let's get more aggressive in our cost. We know that we're going to have more favorable results from PPC during the, you know, during your peak seasons, because you're going to have certain contractors that are going to bail out because they're to capacity, right?
Right.
You have certain contractors that are going to lose control or lose sight of how their campaigns are performing. So that's another group that would be exiting the picture in a way. So that's your opportunity to really bolster a lot of your results, and your conversions are just stupid. And right, when it's the peak season, you're converting, your business is running as well as it's going to run based on the set of principles and processes that you've set up. Yep. For that business. So it, when you get in your shoulder season though, you can get a hell of a lot more aggressive. And that's the fun time to me, because that's when we can take that's where you take the gloves off and you can start having having more strategic conversations of getting more aggressive on things. And really, really pushing to see how you can continually push that capacity, because operations is 100% key in what you and I do.
Yeah.
Right. Operations is what will make us successful. So dialed in operations and getting them then to 100% capacity is going to make us look like rock stars.
By the way, it's easy to look like a rock star in peak season.
Right.
The
right.
Shoulder Shout season is where you find folks out what you're made of.
Right. But it's things like that. When you're looking at your share of impressions, that you're able to get in there of like, okay, there's a lot of impressions we can still be going after. Let's get more aggressive. Let's see, are our campaigns not optimized the way they should be? Are there additional opportunities to do that? Right. To be able to improve your score within Google. Are there things that you can do from a budget perspective to be able to drive more of that impression share to your business? That one I really like looking at into the shoulder seasons, because I think it brings that competitive factor in for me.
Yep.
Of like, who's getting some more impressions or seeing that we're starting to see that creep up? Let's go get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you got, you have like, you know, something that's still common to this day. And mind you, I've been in this thing 15 years doing this for 15 years, and it's still you can launch an internet marketing campaign. I don't care if your budget is $1,000 a day, $2,000 a day. Like, it doesn't matter. You can have a huge budget, and when you first launch that thing, it might not spend. It might not spend. So if you're like, hey, it's been 2 weeks. Well, I don't control Google. So like, it is like, it's not for lack of me opening it up. It's just, it might not. There's some of these things that you go through. But also, I think people have a bad habit of, and actually, we're a very agile company. So if someone reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we really need to push drain cleaning leads, like, we can do that on the fly, and we will do that on the fly. But if you call back 2 days later and try to make another adjustment, then another adjustment, and another adjustment to the same type of campaign, like, it becomes disruptive and actually ends up impacting you negatively. Yeah. It's impatience, but it's because once you go into the shoulder season, like, does demand go down? It does go down, but it does not go away.
Right.
So it does not go away. So what Matt's saying is you can step it up and be really aggressive in those seasons and you can get by. Now, I will say this, like one thing that we learned early on, and I will definitely give some credit to Joe Huck for this is, and thankfully coming from Indiana where we built this thing is we have, there's the true four seasons. Yep. So I learned that there is a preseason install period that you can get to before it's actually in that peak season and what triggers it. And the same thing with the postseason, both on in summer and in winter.
Yep.
So here in Arizona, it's a little bit different because basically it's like summer and then spring for the longest time. That's like, yeah, but so it is a little bit unique here, but there is that exists for install business, and you might see that cost per lead go up for that new business, but that's okay because you're pushing on install leads. It is there. I will say though, there's usually like a little gap though in between those where we are kind of hoping Mother Nature kicks in and helps a little bit, but we're all fighting for that.
Absolutely.
But that's the fun part you're talking to because you're strategic and you get, you know, you understand a lot of these things. That's where we get to have fun because we're trying different things, you know, trying to move these different needles to help these, you know, to help these guys.
Yeah. But it's these are the type of conversations and the things that you'll do to be able to help your business grow. You're going to be at 100% capacity when it's peak season, right? That's not hard. But keeping your team at 100% capacity during ideally a slower season. And I'm not saying because you're understaffed, but because you hustle.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference, right? And I see an argument if I'm saying, oh, hey, we're at 100% capacity every day, someone's gonna be like, you don't have enough people. Yep. It's like, we weren't 100% capacity coming into that day. Right. It was at that point we're deploying different technologies to be able to get people to call in for maintenance. We're going to be working on moving around the schedule, moving people up that maybe in the future, working on getting parts in to be able to do parts calls as quickly as possible. Like there are a lot of things that we do to be able to make sure we get to that 100% capacity each day. But that's our goal as marketers, right?
Yep.
But get them to 100%. That's what our livelihoods are based around.
Yeah. And by the way, like listeners, this whole PPC pay-per-click thing is a great lever to use.
Absolutely.
And for the different demand, whether it be install, service, if it's drain cleaning, sump pumps, I don't care what, like there's different levers you can pull and use to your advantage. Again, mind you, like Matt's got the experience, but for those who are relying on their marketing companies, it's important that you pick one that actually understands the trades and how the consumer thinks about the trades, because that's the game that we're in is basically we got to be psychologists to figure out how to overcome the objections before they're ever even asked by the homeowner to get them to pick that particular contractor. Like that's the game that we're in, but you have that opportunity and it doesn't matter what size you are. It's an opportunity. Just don't pick the wrong person to manage it for you. You're going to learn real quick. You'll be the one that says, I tried pay-per-click and I spent all this money and it never works.
Hire good people, man.
And I'm going to just make a segue into SEO from there for the sake of time, because I think we're about 40 minutes into it, but I want to keep this super simple. Everyone always asks me, you know, when you say SEO, what does that mean? At the end of the day, what we're trying to do is make that your website as relevant as possible. So whatever, how many pages that takes, as relevant as possible to the homeowner that's searching for XYZ, AC repair, Noblesville. Let's make sure we have a page about AC repair in Noblesville. All right. There's other factors. I'm just kind of giving you it at simplest form. Like it's content, like, and as closely matched content as we can possibly get to what's being searched. And we want that site to perform, so it's fast and all these things, because speed is a necessity. You heard Matt say that, but there's all these factors that go into it. But I would say at its simplest form, I think somebody asked us the same question in Atlanta, Matt. And we were talking about like a simple ranking report, right? Where if you wanted to look month over month to find out, hey, where do I now rank for, you know, AC repair near me in your market or whatever it is, you should be able to see where you ranked at month over month. Like absolutely. At its simplest form, you should be able to at least see that. So here at Rhino, like there's no secret sauce that goes into, I tell you what, if there's secret sauce, it's just called working your ass off on it. Like it's labor. It's what it comes down to. Yes. That team is like 13 of them on our SEO team and they're never short of work. I feel like we can never hire enough to keep them busy because there's these boxes that have to be checked every single month to accomplish the best outcome. Yep. Like there's no way around it, but that's how you end up winning the game is you got to be willing to do the things that might be only worth 2%.
Yep.
And so that's how you can do these things. But at its simplest form, you can look at the ranking reports, but you can also start to throw tracking numbers in there to also see what they're producing. And the people will say, well, yeah, then if I do that, they searched my name. But guess what? You can take out branded and non-branded too. It's very simple. When you ask the question, hey, are you an existing customer? And they say, nope. You start to figure a few things out. Like, is it perfect? No, but it's pretty darn close. If you ask, when you have somebody who can listen to that.
Let's not overcomplicate things either.
100%.
We love to do that. As marketers, we will naturally overcomplicate everything that we touch. And we do it really well.
Well, yeah, I mean, but we get over when we're sitting here doing nothing and there's a truck that costs a lot of money sitting there doing nothing. That's what we start to do. Yeah. We start to overthink things, you know, and it's not necessarily coming from a bad place. It's just what we do. All right. But at the simplest form, if you have a marketing agency, ask them to show you all the different keywords that they're tracking for you. And you look at it month over month to see, are you increasing or decreasing? And then you can maybe ask some questions from there, because even if you see it like drop a few times, don't get paranoid if it drops a few positions. It might go back up four the next time around, the next time it runs the following month. But if there's big drops, big dips, then you can maybe ask more questions. If not, or ask Matt. That's what everybody else does. Just reach out to Matt. I'll share his information at the end.
I'll probably answer. It's all right.
That's what I love.
We're all here to help.
I'm going to roll into this, and I'm really curious for you because about how this next one is for you. And it's a good, you know, I like people to listen to this and actually have like an idea.
You may be disappointed in my answer here, but we'll.
Because you're going to give me a general answer. I know it.
No.
Okay.
Even worse.
Oh, God. Okay. So then if you're going to, okay, let's just go into it. So this is a great lead in. I just had this conversation this morning with one of our big, big players who was looking to go somewhere up into the Pacific Northwest. And he was asking me questions. He or she was asking me questions. and it kind of made me think about, you know, this particular question because I get asked it so often. And we try to avoid it, right? Because you don't want somebody to hear one thing and that be their expectation when it might not be the same to them because there's factors that play into it. But the question is around this average cost per booked call. People might call it cost per acquisition. They might call it whatever. To me, the average cost per booked call varies from service and location and branding. There's factors that go into this thing, but what do you guys look at? Like, and I know you, I don't know what your answer is going to be. I'm cool with ballpark, man. Yeah. And listeners, this is just to give you an idea what an average cost per booked call is. So at max, what are you looking at to get to that number? And can you share kind of what you look at when you say, hey, this team is not getting her done. Like something's off here.
Yep. So I don't like, that's why I'm saying that it's going to be a disappointing answer. But let me explain why I don't want to come across as irresponsible. Because of how my position is defined here and how I integrate with some of the different teams. That is really why I do not look at the booked call from that perspective. I am an avid believer of looking in the return on ad spend, which is the ultimate revenue that comes in through the channel. The teams that I'm responsible for, I control what their conversion metrics are, right? From the dispatch team, it's what we're seeing from an average call perspective, from revenue per average call. It's looking at for the client care team, abandon rate, because I know if they follow our process and our scripting, that they are going to be put into a good chance of success from a conversion rate perspective. And then when I'm talking to my marketing team, I'm talking about KPIs that are important to what they offer, because I know if everyone has a distinct focus on what they can influence, at the end of the day, it's going to drive down to the return on ad spend, which is what I'm ultimately responsible for within the company, because it's going to come down to of how much revenue am I driving for every dollar that we put into the market. And that's going to range depending on how aggressive I'm going to get from a marketing perspective. That may go down to a return on ad spend of 5. It may go up to 13. Who knows, depending on how aggressive I need to be able to be to support the business and us hitting our revenue goals and ultimately seeing that drive down to the EBITDA, right? Because if we've already hit our bottom line goal for the month, I can get a hell of a lot more aggressive on the marketing side of things to go just capture business.
Yeah.
Because the more and more that revenue is going to be taken to the bottom line, that it almost, I say almost, doesn't matter how much I spend on marketing, because as long as it's bringing responsible results to the organization, it's going to have a profound impact on what we're able to achieve from a revenue perspective. So I'm sorry to disappoint on not having the specific number for it. Oh, I can look it up. I can pull Service Titan report and easily have it. But I guess my management style is a little bit different in regards to, I know what I'm responsible for, and I know the key triggers and what we need to achieve in the different departments to get it there. And then we have the conversation if their KPIs start to drop accordingly.
Yeah. So, and I'm okay with that answer because of the position that you're in, the seat that you're in with all the things that you guys have done from the brand, all those things, I can understand why you look on the return on ad spend. So, cause that's going to be your one metric that allows you to know something's off. Gotcha. Or which way to go with it.
And it's why SEO is so important. Just shout out to SEO. Still one of my favorite things to work on.
I like that. Me too. I will say that to our listeners, so you don't feel like, oh, I thought I had something. There's certainly, Matt's not saying he's not willing to share those things or at least give you some guidance, but it does matter based on the particular service that you are offering, the market that you're in. Brand equity absolutely matters in that number too. There's things that are going to impact you. But here's one thing. If you're using like Service Titan or HouseCalc Pro or whatever your field management software is, you can find that information. Like you can get that type of stuff. So at least you have an idea of what it is. Ask the marketing company for it, and then they'll measure it month over month for you too, if you'd like to do that. At Rhino, we have our Rhino Tracks report, which pulls in Service Titan, pulls in HouseCalc Pro, whatever. So you can see the return on ad spend for new business and overall business in there, but you could drill down and figure out what your cost per booked call is. The cool thing I love about that is you might just find that maybe that cost per booked call could be a little bit better because you're noticing some CSR deficiencies that you could fix. Right.
Well, and I want to be clear, it's like any metric that you're tracking, I'm not a big fan of comparing, you know, company to company. I wouldn't even talk to some of our competitors in our markets. If I'm having lunch with someone and just shooting shit or whatever, and you know, I wouldn't even do that because there are so many variables that can come into play that I may say something that gives them really bad advice, right? They may make a decision that ultimately they need to be looking into their business, their campaign performance, because the variables are just stupid in what we do.
It does.
On what could come into play. I mean, you just mentioned some of the major ones of just location, the seasonality that you're currently in, how aggressive you're being from a marketing perspective. There's so much that could come in, and I'd really be hesitant of me wanting to share our book call because that could drive some potentially bad decision making. Our goal, if there is one thing that people take away from this, besides the last question, if there's one thing that people took away from this, is just measure your month over month improvement in what you're seeing, right? You're competing with yourself. All of us, our competitor is ourself. Internalize that, understand that, and own that, right? No excuses when you're competing against yourself.
That's right.
So make sure that you're tracking those key KPIs and just look for month over month improvement, right? And be consistent in how you're measuring it, what you're measuring it. Don't try to change your KPIs every month because you're not going to be able to see the progress that you're seeing and make strategic business decisions. So just really, really, I guess, focus, right? Right. Just focus and really understand those and just see how you're seeing the improvements. And the same with keywords, right? You do need to know like what kind of traffic you could expect from those keywords, but really understand it and just look at it month over month and understand what momentum you're seeing, because again, marketing is momentum.
Yeah. And I think one thing that you kind of said in there is, in a roundabout way, is you know what your numbers need to be to make you successful based on your business and the size of your business and all the variables within your if you just check the numbers month over month and you can see what your return on ad spend is, which you should be able to with any field management software, even if you got QuickBooks, whatever it is, anywhere you're storing customer data, you can pull that. So you got no excuse. but then make those decisions, you know, but then at least you've got a number to hold whomever it is accountable, and yourself included, by the way, that's listening, because you got some skin in that game too, with how you're performing operationally, and that's on you if you're an owner or a manager, a leader, whatever in your business. So use those tools that way. I love asking that question, mainly because I hate getting asked that question for the exact same reason. Is, again, you could say ballpark all day long, but it still doesn't mean anything, which is when I think people get frustrated. It's like, why can't you just give me the number? Because it's not that simple. There's nothing to hide. It's just, I know if I give you a number, it's not going to be, I don't know you, oh, you're enough about your business to know well enough on what that means to you. Cause you, I might really throw you off and make a decision that's the wrong way. Now, the difference for me is that we have so many different customers across all over that I have a pretty good idea of what it should be.
Yep.
And I still hesitate because you just never want to throw that number out there, because that's all they're going to hear.
Right.
You know,
markets are different, man. Even the markets that we serve are drastically different. Louisville's going to perform and act totally different than our Indianapolis market.
Yeah. And they're not even only 2 hours apart.
2 hours apart, but there's a river.
There's a river.
That river did something.
It's all that Kentucky. Like, listen, Kentucky's got good bourbon.
A really good bourbon. Very good at bourbon.
Love bourbon. I'm going to ask this next question, and then we're going to segue to the end, which is the last question. It's going to be my favorite question to ask you. But this one, I want to just keep it simple, Matt. And it's around social media. And we've kind of noticed, you know, me and probably anybody else listening who's paying for social media noticed a nice little shift in there. It's because there's a lot of variables that happened in there that made it harder for us as digital marketing companies. But
so much harder.
I will say this, that my opinion, I'll share it first because I know you'll share yours regardless of what mine is social media, should you do it, should you not do it? The answer is yes, but maybe it's not paid social. Maybe it's just you using your free tools, getting in the groups, or getting in, you know, going onto the social platforms, the next doors, the local, you know, like the local social platforms where you kind of go in and have someone help promote yourself. Like in my community where I live, there's like a community page in Facebook. And by the way, somebody makes one post on there about whom to use, guess what? Game over. So own that backyard and some of those social spaces now, you know.
Yep.
But I do believe that this is my opinion and straight lead gen. Like, can you use social media for lead gen using paid advertising? You can, but you cannot go into it with that mindset. I genuinely believe it is a dual branded / lead gen effort. If you go into it with the right mindset and you get some leads from it, you will get some leads from it, but you got to also go in with the understanding that branding is playing into that as well. And branding comes at a higher cost per lead, right? So my two cents is, I think it's valuable to do because it puts you, you talk about the mix, it puts you in front of people and you can pull business from it, but you have to be of the right mindset of like, this isn't going to be the same cost per lead as an LSA program.
Yeah. Social media marketing. Absolutely. That's why I have someone, like we have a team member that all she does is social media and community involvement. Because that's important. We do ads when there may be a valley in lead opportunities, right? Where we need to tap into some of those because they can be lower quality lead sources, but it's a legit lead gen. But what we spend more money on are boosting things about the company, right? We're not posting about the products or services we offer most generally because no one really cares.
Nope.
They care about us, right? They're trying to figure out who the humans are that they're interacting with or about to invite into their home. They want to know who they are. They want to know how they're involved. So most of our boosted posts, aside from a small part of the year when we do go into some of the more Legion-ish type programs, is really geared towards boosting posts about what we're doing in the community, who we're serving, where, you know, story of, you know, team members, what they're doing, how they're helping out, this or that. That is who we are. We want to build that brand of trust and understanding, and that we're going to come into the home and we're going to educate on how to be able to help you achieve your goals, your comfort goals, right? And provide options. Those are the things that we talk about. It's not salesy. We're not talking about the equipment the types of equipment we offer or anything of that nature. It's talking about us. We're people.
I mean, I say that like, I'll argue that all day long. No one the majority really don't necessarily care about the type of equipment that you're using because they don't understand the differences anyhow.
Right.
But it's you. It's you. So right. That social media is kind of like the window into your business. It shows them what you're about, like your purpose or your why or who you are and your involvement in the community. And by the way, that is a powerful tool if you're consistent with it and you're showing those things.
Right.
You know, us as a business as well, like Rhino, we don't post like, hey, sign up today or like, hey, like we don't do that because it's not the tool for it.
Right.
Well, instead what we do is show what we're about, because then if somebody is trying to understand, do I work with this company or not? Because I've heard some things I've about them, they can go and kind of see who we really are.
Yep. Because all of it, and it's even same for like TV and really the majority of our radio spots, even now, so much of them are more about the soft skills than anything. Right. And really building that relationship with the community, because that is what's going to be able to position us in a more favorable position when someone does need the services, because they know who we are. Right. There's a relationship there. And I think when there's a tangible or when the emotions aren't tangible, so that was bad to say, but when there's that emotion that they can call to and that they can then, you know, trigger that brand recall, that's going to be incredibly powerful. And we're all here to serve.
Yeah,
that's what we do. We offer a service. We don't offer products. We offer a service. And I think that's really where people can get confused. And we spend tens of thousands of dollars a year telling our story on Facebook alone, because it's important that people hear it. Organic posting from a business perspective, that's pretty much dead. Yeah. You can't expect to do a business post and for thousands of people to see it, because it gets lost in the mix, lost in the shuffle, and it doesn't generate Facebook revenue. Yep. So they're going to not show you up. But I do want to say, for the smaller contractors, as you alluded to and we talked about earlier, it's that being involved with your personal page, that is incredibly valuable. And I would highly recommend that, especially for companies starting out, just getting involved in some of those community pages, posting on your own profile, talking about the business, creating that reason why people want to do business with you is going to be an incredibly powerful tool for you. And that's going to be one hell of a lead gen to start out your business.
Bingo. There you go. That's easy. You said something that was made for a great segue into my last question. And, you know, I think that all these things to build your business that we have in this like digital world that you and I love, and all these tools that we have and, at our disposal that people didn't even have 20 years ago to use to help build their businesses. Behind it all, there needs to be a greater purpose of it. I mean, it can't just be air conditioning, heating, plumbing, electrical, whatever it is. And that really comes through in these social platforms too, to kind of show what you're about, if it's legit, if the intent is legit real. And someone will ask me, you know, like I have a set giving fund that I do every year, and essentially just make the donation, the actual cash donation. But I also have this every month a service day. I want to actually go and be there in person and get that experience too, because I believe it's more than just, you know, writing a check to somebody. You need to kind of go and experience it together and kind of feed your soul a little bit that way. And every Rhino has that every one day, every month. We cover their costs. But the point being is, it's because our intent is much bigger than, I'm a digital marketing company. Yes. But that is what we offer. That's not necessarily who we are. We are a company that helps build other companies. Like, that's our sole purpose. Like, our mission statement is, we exist to grow your business, period. But we got to do it by genuinely caring about you, giving out things on this podcast, bringing on people who are smart, who've done these things, who can share and do all those things. And then when you post it on social media, it is a way to encourage others to go and do the same thing. And it's done exactly that. So I'm proud of those things, but you're not bragging on what you're doing. You know, it's not like the guy who's like, hey, I just made a $1,500 donation. We don't do that type of shit. But it's like, I do that because I want to do those things. I just prefer to do it in private. I don't need to let everybody know what I'm spending. You know, I don't know what my own budget is, but by our actions, speak loud. And that's what you can do, as like you listening. You have zero reason that you can't go to any community and get involved. You want to get some free branding? Find the next parade that's coming and go tow a float. You know, offer, take a couple of your trucks and tow a float. Get involved with these little youth sport things and don't just say, here you go, here's my $250 check and do something with it. Like, get involved with those things if you legit care about community. And by the way, if you do it that way, your brand will benefit from those things. But you talk about kind of being, because I know your heart, I know who you are as a human being. You talk about being agile, creative, showing humanity. Like, I heard to someone your episodes, I believe it was with Jackie on Service Titan too.
Yep.
Explain to our listeners, and this is how we're going to close this thing out. Can you believe we're like already just over an hour into this thing?
Right. We can go. Well, this talk is for a couple days.
Yeah, dude, this was like our lunch or dinner before we flew out of Atlanta. You like same thing. I'm like, oh shit, we got to go. But just what are you talking about there? Like, maybe share with the listeners on this piece of it too, so that they know where you're coming from when you start talking about showing humanity.
Yeah. So the agile, I think that kind of speaks for itself. We've got to move quickly as marketers, as business people. Things change consistently, specifically in the business set that we currently live in, right? That environment is different. Yep. We've got to move quick. We've got to make decisions quickly. That's, you know, we have used agencies in the past. We've recently, because of our size, we've brought that role internal. We brought most of the roles internally because, again, I thrive on that. But you've got to have the right team members to be able, I do want to preface that. You have to have the right team members to do that in experience levels and so on and so forth. But that was born out of a desire to be more agile. And be more quick and responsive. And you kind of alluded to it as that's one thing your team prides themselves in, is being able to react and act quickly for your clients. And that's just absolutely critical. Kind of explains that one. Sorry, you were going to
say that, Chris. I was just going to say, yeah, perfect. So because you have to be that way. Like, you can't, I mean, this is how you get passed up too, right? You got to be able to make and pivot and make decisions and make changes and things like that too. But you don't want to put the wrong person in that wrong seat. It's actually going to take you the opposite direction.
No, that'd suck. So the creative side of it, you know, we just got always constantly challenging the norm, right? Some of the posters that I have in my office is think bigger. We've always done it this way. The most dangerous phrase in business. Yep. And the riskiest thing is to take no risks, right? Those are the three posters that I have that sit by me every day as I work. And those, they're very strategic because all of those three things are very important, and three things that really burden this industry more than anything: not thinking big enough, really, and then also not taking risks, but then saying, hey, this is how we've always done it. And we've always got to be challenging the norm and being creative in that. And sometimes being creative is being simpler, right? Being creative doesn't mean it has to be more difficult. Being creative may bring simplicity. You look at our billboards, it's literally Max, our character waving, and our logo. Because I want people to have a good feeling when they drive by. Like, they have this nice old dude waving at you and a logo, and that's it. That's it. I don't want to try to sell them a service or anything of that nature. I just want them to feel good about our brand. That's it. And so creative can be simplicity. So keep that in mind when you're going down that route. And then my last part that I'm probably most passionate about is the humanity portion of it. Man, we serve and we serve well. That is what we're on this earth to do. That is our job as human beings, is to serve one another and do it genuinely and with an open heart. And that's something that we need to make sure we're continually focusing on in our businesses. Yes, we are for-profit businesses, absolutely, but we do that for a reason. And you know, part of that reason needs to be how we serve the community that lets us in their homes every day. And that's something I think we can lose sight of as a home service business, because we get so busy, we get so focused on other things. There are a lot of distractions in this space, but at the end of the day, there are homeowners every day making the conscious decision to let our team into their home because they trust us.
Yep.
And they know we're going to serve them well. And we need to take that responsibility seriously and figure out how ways we can give back to the community. One thing that struck me, because we've always done donations, similar thing. We've hundreds of thousands of dollars we give back to the communities every year. And one thing that always struck me was we never talked about it. And I felt, when I first started here, I was like, yeah, that would feel weird to talk about it. But I would say what changed my mind, we were meeting with Outreach, a local organization here that works with kids that are essentially homeless or in bad situations, and focus on the youth. And they said in a meeting, we need you talking about it.
Yep.
because you are our marketing arm.
Yeah, you create awareness.
They don't have the marketing budget. So what do? Like each month in each location, we choose a charity that is local. It has to be local. We don't do necessarily a big national charity or anything of that nature, organization. Yep, local same. Charity that we know the dollars are going to go back in, and we give them $1,500. But what we do is we set it up as a match program. And so what we're talking about on social media is, hey, we want to tell you the story about this amazing organization, and here's how you can help contribute. Because we don't want to give them $1,500. We want them to get $3,000. And we expand upon that. And that's aside from all the organizations we support, all of the, you know, it's literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, because that is so critical to us as a company. And that's a strategic business decision that we make every year. Is how can we be more involved in the community and do it genuinely and really let them know that we care. Nothing warms my heart more than when I go onto one of the chatter pages and someone's asking, hey, do you have an HVAC company? And someone's like, hey, reach out to Williams Comfort Air. They do amazing things for the community. And like, it literally makes me makes me emotional, because it's like, people see it. People see it, and it's not the recognition we got, but I know that the charity that we were supporting or the organization we were supporting, they got credit for that. Yeah. And that's the impactful side that we have to think about, is it's not about us. You can't go in it as it's about you. It's about the organization you're supporting. It's the community you support, and do it genuinely. And I'm telling you, this as a marketing strategy, if you want to put it in marketing, whatever, it works.
Yeah.
Because you're creating an emotional tie to a consumer that is genuine. It's not something that they're getting an emotional tie. They're like, I don't know if you're really approaching this from a genuine way. It's creating something that is meaningful. And I highly encourage, I think it's our job as companies to be good stewards of our clients' money and things that they've entrusted us with. And part of that is giving back to the local community, making sure that those dollars are getting to the people in the local community that need it.
That's servanthood, man. Like, I love that piece of it right there too. And this is where, like I said, I think you and me are so much alike. If you think about, we send every employee one Friday a month to go and serve somewhere instead of actually work to get something done for our customers. But the reason is it's not about the money, the revenue. It's about you have to continue to give back. And when people give back together, it does something different to your culture. And that, so not only are you getting to give back to the community in a big way, you're giving back to the employees in a big way. And then guess what? These guys will go and do it on their own. Like, they'll go and do it on their own. They'll invite their friends and go do things like that too. But even if you don't have a dollar that you can donate, I know that sounds silly, but I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone. You can donate time. I promise you that. And that is impactful. And the same thing, I don't mind sharing those stories, because I know what it's done for those organizations. That's why we do it. Because at bare minimum, as long as your intent is good, you're fine. You'd be just fine. As long as your intent is good, you are just fine, and you'll be all right.
Life verse, Galatians 6:9, man.
That's your verse, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Just give back, serve and serve well.
Love it, man. Well, listen, I'm grateful that you and I have known each other this long, man. We've been in this game together a long time. This is a pretty cool, moment for us to be able to all these years later, to be able to share your message, the things that you've done on this podcast, or the things that we've accomplished here, like together. It's pretty awesome. You're going to have a decent chunk of people who hear this for you. Hands down, I know you're going to get people reach out to you. And so I wanted to give them the opportunity to connect with you. So to close this thing, if you wouldn't mind sharing, man, just what your best contact info is for them. That'd be great.
Yeah, this gets risky. Don't sign me up for spam lists. So best email to reach out to me is just matt.tyner, T-Y-N-E-R, at maxservicegroup.com. And feel free, if you got questions, reach out to me. I'm in all the social media channels, LinkedIn, so on and so forth. You can find me with Max Service Group. And if you do have questions and you just want to give me a call, whatever, here's my cell phone, 765-635-5362. Text, please, because cell phone, if I don't have you in here, you're getting ignored. But text me and we'll set up a time to chat.
That's very cool. Actually, I at Rhino X this year, not this year, the next Rhino X, This is how I have Howard Behar, who's former president of Starbucks, him and Howard Schultz one built this thing up to be this international sensation that it is. The way I was able to reach out to him was my wife, Anna, was listening to a podcast with Ed Mylett. And Ed Mylett's a podcaster she listens to on the way up to the cabin. And Howard Behar left his cell phone number. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I was like, Anna, take the number down. And I text him. He texted me back like 5 minutes later. That's how I was able to get him onto the podcast. And then from there, I was able to develop a relationship with him. And he's like, talk about servant leadership, man. He does a phenomenal speech on that, because they said the whole like thing around Starbucks was, it wasn't about the coffee. It was about the culture. The culture built the coffee. It was a cool thing. And so I'm so excited for him to come be a part of Rhino X and talk about how they scaled that business in that way. So dude, I appreciate you so much for being on here, man. Dude, this was great. Did you have fun?
This is fun.
Come on, man. This is great.
This is fun.
Well, I'm going
to do it again.
We will. I'm going to close this thing out with a review. And this one is from Wired Electric in Myrtle Beach. So this is the first time that I don't actually have like a name other than that. And this could be totally my fault because I did this myself. But whoever, Wired Electric, there you go, Myrtle Beach. I love Myrtle Beach. 5 stars, it says tons of content. Love listening to you guys. You have top notch contractors and companies on here and giving so many free nuggets. Thank you. Well, thank you, Wired Electric. I hope you're having a great year. But listen, if any of you guys listen to this podcast too, you love some of the stuff that Matt said, please leave a review for him. And then we'll take it and we'll share it with him too. Obviously they love to hear that feedback as well. That's kind of what fills our cup. So please do those things. We always love reading the reviews on this thing. But again, Matt, I appreciate you so much. Congrats on all the success that you've had. I know that you're just, you're not done yet, man. I know you got, still got some climbing to do that you're excited about. I'm no different, but I appreciate you coming on here and sharing, brother. I'm excited to kind of see or hear from you after it airs on the inbox and the text messages that you get.
Right.
Cool. Well, listeners, he gave you a lot of information in there too. I remember he said return on ad spend, that works for him. May not work for you right now, but I promise you it's a metric you should be paying attention to regardless. If you don't know how to do it, ask. And you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No, 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest, and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.